Welcome to the fourth installation of the G20 Report for June 24th, 2010. The G20 Report is your daily rundown of news about the resistance to the G8 and G20, straight from the streets of Toronto, produced by the Alternative Media Centre. Wednesday marked the third day of themed resistance to abolish the G8 and G20. The theme was climate and environmental justice and featured a toxic tour of Toronto and a People's Assembly on climate justice. University of Toronto students also held an action outside the Monk Conference, reflecting concerns of the University of Toronto's relationship to the G20. Environmental justice organizers guided a tour through Toronto to expose institutions most responsible for the environmental and social impacts of Canada's extractive industries, both at home and abroad. Canada is home to 75% of the world's mining and exploration companies, making it a global leader in this industry. Canada's place within the G8 nations is largely due to the exploitation of Indigenous peoples, their lands, and rural poor from mining, tar sands, and oil and gas exploitation. Speaking before the tour were several community organizers who told the crowd about the effects of climate change in their communities. Jasmine Thomas is from the Carrier Nation from the Frog Clan.
So the tar sands are one of the largest point source of industrial carbon emissions in Canada and the source of millions of liters of toxic wastewater. The tar sands are turning First Nations, Aboriginal, and treaty rights, land, water, and the atmosphere into a dumping ground. And for what? Destructive extractive industries are not the things we need when there are clean, just alternatives available. It is everyone's fundamental human right to have unhindered access to clean water, air, and land, and we need to be able to live on a healthy planet. Everyone deserves access to basic needs for survival. This is environmental justice. And this is why we are all here together, standing together as one. It doesn't matter where we're from. We all live on this earth together, and it is all our responsibility to take care of it.
Isaiah Kipigon is a program officer with Norwegian Church Aid in Nairobi, Kenya, and spoke about the effects of climate change in rural Kenya and the lack of responsibility by industrial nations who cause it.
Let me tell you why I'm scared. 50% of agriculture in Africa is gonna be lost. Our continent is either buried in dust or water, yes, because of flooding and droughts. Many people are dying because of increased tropical diseases. Many people have died because they haven't found food. And when they grow their crops, they die because of a changing climate. Climate change has its victims. I represent some of them. And that is why I am so afraid, because climate change isn't being handled the way it should be. To handle climate change, you have to cut emissions. The science is clear. Here is the other reason why I am so afraid this morning. Climate change has been caused by rich, industrialized countries like Canada. Yet they are not willing to help out. They are not willing to change their lifestyles. They are not willing to do anything to save the people from back in my country. I am afraid because we are facing extinction. But there is little hope. People like yourselves who believe in justice, who believe in truth, will rise up.
With the success of the World People's Conference on Climate Change and the Rights of Mother Earth held in Cochabamba, Bolivia in April 2010, social movements from all over the world have begun to cross-pollinate their efforts to forge an urgent movement for climate justice that demands governments respect and protect the rights of climate-impacted communities and our planet Mother Earth. In Toronto yesterday, a similar assembly was organized where community members were asked to think about the connections between climate change and social justice in their local communities. After deliberations in small groups, here are some of the reflections that came out of the People's Assembly on climate change.
Really, what we came up with is that we need to be aware of our rights as people, and some of these rights are a right to comprehensive health, the right to clean air, the right to water as a source of life. And a lot of these rights are being violated by some of the actions that people are taking worldwide, whether it be mining gold, mining resources.
So the first thing we touched on, I think we can all agree on, is that the health of ourselves and the health of our planet is inseparable. That's something that we need to internalize, that dynamic. So we can't say we damage the environment out there. We damage it in here, because the body of the earth is what feeds us air, water, and food.
I think the biggest thing my group struggled with was coming up with a definition for what justice really is. And I think what we settled on is that a big part of justice is having everyone come to care about similar ideals and similar outcomes that they want to have from these kind of changes we're starting to institute.
But we also recognize that poor people here will be more affected by climate change than wealthy people will. And often the green solutions that are being developed are more accessible to wealthy people than they are to poor people. We talked quite a bit about free trade and how it undermines local production and increases long-distance shipping.
We ultimately agreed that because capitalism and the market-based model that we know today has caused climate change, we can't rely on market-based models to solve the problem of climate change.
At 8:30 a.m. yesterday morning, a group of University of Toronto students gathered outside the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Toronto, where the University of Toronto's Monk School of Global Affairs hosted a conference entitled Governing the Global Economy, the Role of the G20. Students gathered outside the hotel to leaflet and hang banners to express their concerns about the collaboration between the University of Toronto and the Toronto Police, the shutting down of the University of Toronto campuses as a way of shutting down dissent during the G20, and the role of the Monk School in the G20. We spoke to some of these students.
For students and staff and faculty at the university, you know, we were not consulted in a decision that affects all of us, and to be displaced from our campus, from our homes, and then, you know, shut out of discussions around the G20, you know, this is a time where we could be having critical debate and discussions around the issues, but instead we've been displaced. And so for us today it was, you know what, you can shut your doors, you can hide behind the police, but we will be out there, we will be speaking our minds, and we will make sure that we express our dissent with the G20 structure and its frightening parallels on our campus.
With respect to the Monk School for Global Affairs, it was publicly announced that it would be the only academic program staying open throughout the closure, and it does seem really, really apparent to us that this school, with its focus on the G8 and the G20, is really kind of the intellectual engine behind, you know, the Canadian portion of the G20, and we find it really disconcerting that 2 days before the G8 summits, that there's a business leaders advising meeting with the G20 leaders while our campus is being closed. Like, that is a really disturbing parallel, that while the business leaders are advising our elected leaders, and, you know, our academics, you know, our public universities are not being able to be engaged, or in a very strategic and restricted fashion. So the fact that the Monk School will be reporting and basically being, you know, acting as a PR firm, mm-hmm. for our government on these matters, for our government and business leaders on these matters, is really concerning. And we need to have a space to have critical debate. That's why we have public universities. That's the mission behind our universities, and it's a serious violation.
You have been listening to the G20 report from the streets of Toronto. This podcast was produced at the Alternative Media Centre in Toronto. The Alternative Media Centre is a temporary autonomous media-making space for independent journalists to cover the G8 and G20 summits. For daily podcasts, visit news.ckdu.ca. For late-breaking, around-the-clock coverage, visit 2010.mediacoop.ca. Today's edition of the G20 Report was produced by Omesama Rahimtullah and Carmel Wolfson. We leave you now with Crash the Meeting by the Raised Fist Collective. G8, G20,
they do we many. There's nowhere you can't go in the world without opposition to your plans on making it twirl. Around your greedy fingers, we watching it swirl down the drain. Insane economics unfurl. See, we're not buying what you're selling, even with your propaganda telling the media barons rebelling. We're yelling, no justice, no peace in the streets. It's just us versus the elite's police. See, a better world we see, so we're free when we speak. Oil's at its peak, and we got it a beat. The status quo will keep us unable to speak. On our knees saying please, we reap what we sow. So you know the whole plan is out of control. The goal to hold power while we get the blindfold. Truth be told, it's the same old song and dance. We're down to the wire, might be our last chance to advance. Humanity, take your stance. The power of the people, a street romance. United, we cannot be defeated. G20, we're ready, T-Dot, it's time to greet them. G8, G20, they
Q-Re-Many. G-A-G-20. Thank you, we many. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Chattering the so-called social peace. Windows getting smashed live on TV. 20 tenants here, confront the beast. Reclaim the streets, fuck the police. Bringing that fire, it's incendiary. Cause they locking down streets with the military. And the progress is death, it's a cemetery. This ain't Canada, this is native territory. Turtle Island, East Coast of Salish. Fucking colonizer, just keep on taking. February 2010, confront invasion. G20, Julie, Bay Street blazing. Destroy the SBB wherever it gets stationed. Take over everything with occupation. War of all, war, self-determination. Social war against our nation.